We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
The New Orleans Pelicans select Zion Williamson.
And Holiday, the triple penetration. So tough going to the goal.
Zion! High up on the rim to rip it down!
Welcome to In the Know, the Bourbon Street Shots Podcast. We're your hosts, Shamit Dua and Mason Ginsburg, and this is All Pelicans All the Time.
Welcome to In the Know. Mason and myself are sitting in the Smoothie King Center after the Pelicans open practice, which was quite a blast. Mason is in New Orleans for a change. So Mason, what's good with you, my man?
Not much. I came down just to do this podcast. No, seriously, it's been a good weekend at home, family, had a nice chance to catch this open practice, and it was fun. It did not disappoint, and the crowd was in for a treat, and they got some highlights, and it was quite a ruckus crowd. Really exciting.
Yeah, honestly, for 10,000 plus people to show up on a Saturday, Saturday night, and come watch Pelicans basketball when there's nothing really going on. It was quite exciting. I heard the lines were pretty crazy. What was that like standing? Were you out there?
Yeah. I mean, the lines weren't bad. We got here. My dad and I came. We got here at like right around 5 o'clock when the gates were supposed to open. They opened up early because the lines were so insane. And like, man, I remember I was at the open practice I don't remember what year it was. It was 2011, 2012, something like that. And I remember like hanging out, like got to meet like Ryan Anderson and Grievous Vasquez after the game or something. Grievous Vasquez, full circle, I guess. But there were empty seats everywhere. And it's like no one cared. No one cares is an exaggeration, but it was very sparsely attended. And this was just crazy. They had people sitting in the upper deck. It was really an awesome experience.
Sounds like it. Before, if you guys weren't able to attend and the live stream wasn't up for you guys yet, before the festivities got started, the Pelicans were drilling and semi-scrimmaging pretty hard before the open practice officially went underway, and it seemed like they were really prioritizing transition stuff. But again, it seemed they were subbing pretty frequently. They were working really hard, and Drew after practice said a lot of the work was done at that time, and then the practice was a little bit more about showing out for the crowd, and I think players took it a little bit easier, and which I'm sure if you got a chance to see, there was a million missed dunks. They were pretty ambitious. Jackson Hayes took off from damn near the free throw line, and he whiffed one, and Zion had a couple windmills that he whiffed. But I guess, Mason, I'm going to kick it to you. What were your first impressions of Zion?
So I'm going to start from the end and kind of work my way up. So we can talk about the rookie singing performances later. But it's you could just tell from the way he was talking to the crowd, even though he kind of butchered the singing part, he's so personable. And like he's very easygoing, and he's not someone who's going to be awkward to be in front of the crowd, in front of the mic. And I think you may have seen that with a lot of past Pelicans players, but he's just so it's just so easy for him. It comes naturally. He's such a great guy. And then you get to the actual basketball stuff, and he's a wizard. I mean, the what he can do and the way he can impose himself with his body at the age of 19 years old is really spectacular, and it bodes so well for things to come. And I did – one other thing I liked was that the team really set him up to be the star and be the guy that everyone's going ooh and ah about. And the other rookies too. Like, they wanted to showcase these dudes. They weren't trying to just score and let the fans see them score. They wanted to see the new players and get everyone excited. And the team as a whole did a really good job of kind of boosting up Zion in this one. Not that he needed the help.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what really stood out to me about Zion is how effortless he made a lot of things look, where he would get the ball at the top of the key and there would be a little bit of space for him to attack the rim, and he would just take it without hesitation. And let me tell you, like, there isn't a guy on this team that can stay in front of him, both from a maybe speed perspective, but also just from a sheer size perspective. Like, if Zion gets downhill, he's scoring. You're either going to foul him or he's scoring. And it was mind-boggling to watch him push guys like Zillin Cheatham out of the way, or even I guess Brandon Ingram's pretty easy to push out of the way.
It's not even pushing them, like you said on the thing of your tweet. They just bounce off him. I mean, it's like Kamara with the Saints. Like, it doesn't even seem like he's trying that hard to push people away from him. They just bounce off and he scores. It's gonna be, and he's only gonna get stronger from here. So it's gonna be really exciting.
Right, and it also seemed like, I mean, obviously everyone is kind of playing at like half speed or 75% speed, but it definitely seemed like there's whole nother levels that Zion could take it to from a energy and effort perspective. Not that he lacked energy. I think he attacked the offensive glass more so than anyone on the team, and he was really successful at that. But it was just fascinating to watch this dude after going to practices for the whole week and not seeing a bit. I mean, there was that one dunk that we all saw from Lonzo, which Lonzo threw a good alley-oop to Zion here. Okay, we're getting ahead of ourselves here. We had a little segment planned out, but I'm going to go ahead and say I think that was my favorite moment of the scrimmage was Zion blocks a shot or a lob or whatever that was, runs down in transition. But Lonzo was the one with the ball. He lobs up to Zion, and Zion throws it down, which was pretty amazing. But,
Hey, it was the play of the game. I mean, you asked me what my favorite one is. It's got to be that, because it's the coast-to-coast, and, you know, we became so accustomed to seeing that kind of stuff with AD. And as his ball handling improved over the years to not just stop a play on one end on defense, but finish it on the other end and take the ball coast to coast. But I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of that with Zion and Lonzo and the rest of these guys.
That was very exciting. I think the way the teams were structured were also interesting. On one side, you had Drew, Ingram, and JJ as your main players. Or on the other side, Zion's side, you had Lonzo, Zion, which were your perhaps two biggest names. I think Melly was supposed to be the third anchor there, kind of the big three, so to speak. And then you had Nikhil and Etuan and Kenrich doing their things. But on the surface, it definitely seemed like the Drew team was stacked. And when Drew, JJ, and Ingram were all on the floor, they were just running away with it. When those guys sat, the white team was able to claw back. Now, from a practice like this, do you try to take anything away?
No, I mean, I just look at mannerisms. I look at how the players are getting are kind of feeling it with each other. The one other thing that stood out to me, I think it stood out to anyone who's watched basketball over the last few years, is JJ Redick and how effortless and incredible he is with shooting the basketball. And I turned to my buddy watching this scrimmage, and I said, what must it be like being JJ Redick, where anytime you miss a shot, you're actually like upset because you think every shot you shoot is going to go in. And I know it's like a kind of a Steph Curry, Klay Thompson thing too, but with JJ, it seems like the same thing. Like, he missed a couple mid-rangers today, and he just looked so upset at himself for missing it. And I mean, it's going to be a treat to watch him shoot the ball this year.
Yeah, that dude is absolutely fearless, and I believe he's going to have the greenest of lights going into the season. I mean, whether he's starting or whether he's coming off the bench, he's going to shoot the ball every time he has the opportunity to. So it was very cool to watch JJ. Now, one thing I found very interesting was it seemed like the blue team was trying to feed Jackson Hayes a lot, whether it was throwing lobs, whether it was finding him positions in the post or hitting him in the pick and roll. I wonder how much of a component of showing out for the crowd that was, but it seems like some of the lobs they were throwing were very ambitious, to the point where you're like, what have they seen in practice from him? Is this dude just dunking crazy things? And he had a moment where he missed this huge dunk, and the crowd was pretty displeased that he missed it. But I mean, where he took off from, you're like, oh my goodness, like this kid is nuts. And but he still definitely has a long way to go from a size perspective. Derek Favors didn't play today due to some tightness, and the coaching staff feels like it's not a long-term issue. He'll probably be ready for Monday, but they're kind of evaluating it on a day-to-day basis. So that was fun. Other than that, like, I don't really have many, like, player standouts. I guess, what were your thoughts on Lonzo and Brandon Ingram?
Yeah, I mean, those guys, I think Ingram hit a three, which was nice. But Ingram looked very smooth shooting the ball, which was nice. He didn't take a ton of shots, but he looked comfortable. As for Lonzo, he was just looking to pass, I think. He passed up a couple shots, but overall, good first outing for him.
Yeah, I agree. I think Ingram was one of those players that was taking it perhaps a little bit easier than others, whether that's a conditioning thing or whether that's just like, hey, I'm trying not to get hurt. It's fine. Again, you can't take away things from this practice other than, man, these players are really athletic. They can go dunk really well. I think that's going to be a fascinating component to watch going forward. But I think it was fun to watch Nicola Melli. He didn't quite hit the number of shots that we would have perhaps liked him to hit. But again, I don't think these practices are about make or miss. What I saw from him from a decision-making standpoint and a passing standpoint was pretty impressive. And I think he's going to fit right in. Do you envision situations where they're running with Melli at the five to close games over Favors?
Close games. I don't know. I think in those situations for late game, I think you may go small with Ingram at the four and Zion at the five. But I mean, it really depends on how much he shows over the course of the first few weeks of the season. Question for you though, and the answer is probably doesn't mean anything, but they started the game with Melli on one end at the five and Hayes at the other, and the first center off the bench was Okafor. Does that mean anything, or is it just to get the fans to see Jackson Hayes?
Yeah, I think it is to get the fans to see Jackson Hayes, because Derek Favors was dressed in the blue team, which Jackson was on, and Okafor was on the white team. So I think it just happened to work out that way. I think if everything went well, Favors would have started and Jackson would have came off the bench. But I liked you mentioned Okafor. I liked how he played today. I think he was aggressive. I think he was getting a lot of things at the rim where he's going to live. And it was fun to watch Okafor. I probably think he's going to be the first center off the bench, and you're probably going to see Melli and Okafor play a lot of minutes together. So that's going to be a combination we're going to see a lot. And I'm excited. I'm excited for both those bigs. The Pelicans might actually have a rotational front court. We'll see, to be determined on that. Now, when the practice concluded, they had a typical rookie initiation moment where they had the rookies come out and do karaoke on some songs. Now, there was a very, very obvious winner, but Mason, before we get to the winner, is there any other standouts to you or any particular moments you want to talk about?
Not really. I mean, there were some Zion and Melli were kind of not that great. Jackson Hayes tried hard, so that was fun. And then, no one else stood out, but there was a clear winner, and it was really, really well done. And from what it seemed like, I don't know if the rookies got to choose their song. It didn't seem like it based on some of the reactions, but if you were to ask Nah, it seems like he would have picked that song if he had a choice. It was incredible.
It seemed so. Drew, after the practice, mentioned that the players knew their song the day before, so they had some preparation, and they were supposed to be able to do it without the phones in their hands, but clearly that's not what happened. And I don't know, man. I would have done equally as bad, let's be honest. I'm in front of 10,000 people trying to do karaoke. I'm bad when it is when I'm drunk and not in front of 10,000 people. So props to the rookies. Props to Nikhil Alexander-Walker, who truly, truly stole the show there.
Every guy looks better and feels more confident when he puts on a suit. There's one problem. Guys keep buying generic off-the-rack suits. That's why Blue Wire is pumped to partner with Indochino for an amazing deal on a new suit. Indochino is the world's leading made-to-measure menswear company. They make suits and shirts to your exact measurements for an unparalleled fit and comfort. Looking to get married? They have tons of options for those looking to outfit their wedding party. It's so easy to get started. Visit a stylist at one of Indochino's 40 showrooms in North America and have them take your measurements personally. Or measure at home yourself and shop online at Indochino.com. This week, In the Know listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $369 at Indochino.com when entering Blue Wire at checkout. Plus, shipping is free. That's Indochino.com, promo code Blue Wire, for any premium suit for just $369 and free shipping. This is an incredible deal for a premium made-to-measure suit. Once you go custom, you don't go back. When you're selling online, getting your orders out can be a real pain. Time-consuming, expensive, so many carriers to choose from. How do you know you're making the best choice? That's why you need ShipStation.com. It's the fastest, easiest, and most affordable way to manage and ship your orders. ShipStation helps you get orders out quickly, save money on shipping costs, and keep your customers happy. No matter where you're selling, Amazon, Etsy, your own website, ShipStation brings all your orders into one simple interface, making them really easy to manage from any device, even your cell phone. And right now, Blue Wire podcast listeners can try ShipStation free for 60 days when you use promo code BLUE. There's absolutely no risk. You can start your free trial without even entering your credit card info. ShipStation works with all of the major carriers, including USPS, FedEx, UPS, even Amazon Fulfillment. So you can compare and choose the best shipping solution for you and your customer. No wonder ShipStation is the number one choice of online sellers. You'll ship more in less time with the best ship rates available. Just visit ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in BLUE. That's ShipStation.com, then enter promo code BLUE. ShipStation.com. Make ship happen.
A couple interesting moments post-practice. They had us interview with Trajan Langdon, Alvin Gentry, and Drew. I'm not sure if other players came out. It was getting kind of late, dipped out to do this fantastic podcast. But a couple key points with Trajan. Again, they mentioned Favors is expected to be fine. Trajan, I got a chance to ask him about the relationship between Will Weaver of the Sydney Kings, who's coaching Didi down in Australia, and Trajan, who handpicked Weaver when he was with the Nets to coach to be the head coach of the Long Island Nets. So there's a relationship there, and I asked him, like, you know, how far does that familiarity go with what you're trying to do with Didi? And his response was basically that it's great to have someone that you can trust, and he's actually going down there to check up on them in 10 days. So seems like Trajan's very involved on that front. Alvin didn't have much to say. He said this was, you know, gets bigger every year. It's exciting. Not much going on. Alvin did mention things earlier this week when I asked him about defensive priorities, and the Pelicans really want to prioritize getting into the ball, pressuring the ball up front, having their bigs play up high. Alvin went out of his way to mention that they don't want to be like last year. They don't want to be reactive. They want to be proactive and kind of force these turnovers. So it's going to be interesting to see that adaptation, but it's probably a natural adaptation given how athletic this team is. And then the second thing he mentioned was the focus on offensive rebounding, how they want to be both a good offensive rebounding team and a good transition defense team. Do you think this team has the talent or the personnel to accomplish that?
I think it tells you that Melly's going to have a big role from the start. I mean, I think that was the question early on, whether how much he was going to play. But I think his rebounding is one of the things that he's going to bring to this team, and I think that's going to be something that they really focus on and want to get him on the floor to do. And so I think that for the Pelicans in the front court, that's going to dictate a lot of the minutes because, I mean, they're the rest of the lineup, it's switchable, it's long, but it's not, I mean, there's going to be a lot of small lineups that I think the Pelicans are going to play, and whoever's going to be that anchor at the five is going to have to really be able to help at rebounding the ball when, you know, when their other guys are smaller. So, I think it's that I'm glad to hear that as a focus point, and I'm sure that, you know, I mean, that kind of makes sense given where the talent is on this roster.
Yeah, I agree. I think Monday is going to be an interesting test of the roster when they play against another team who maybe is preparing for them, maybe is putting new things, but I think that team is probably going to really test the limits of the Pelicans shooting and see what they can get away with. And so the Pelicans offense going up against defenses that are trying to cheat and shrink the court and force them to turn into a jump shooting team is going to be interesting. I want to see how the Pelicans react to that. I think on the other side, the Pelicans should be, by all accounts, a very good team when it comes to getting to the line, whether that's Zion, whether that's Brandon Ingram, but a team that lives at the rim or in the paint and plays very fast has a very good recipe for turning into a team that lives at the line. What's concerning is the free throw percentage that this team might sport, but it seemed like they were working pretty heavily with a lot of key players on improving free throw percentage. So speaking of improving shots, there's been a lot of buzz this week about Lonzo's shot and his form. You've seen the clips. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know. Did it go viral? Is that what it's called? Did you get there with the Zion free throw video or no?
Semi-viral. I got viral with the Zion ball handling video. Literally, he's just dribbling a ball. Like, come on, people.
What I kind of tried to hammer home is that practice makes perfect. And this is stuff that you can do it a million times in practice. But until you get in that game situation and get comfortable doing it, you can get in your head that, yeah, I know the form is better, but I'm so used to doing it the other way. In the game, it's still going to be better if I do it this old way. And so as soon as he gets over that hump, and we'll have to see, in game situations. But, the form is clearly better, whether it's free throws, whether it's three-pointers. It's very encouraging. That's the first step. So looking forward to seeing if he can translate it and how fastly he can do so.
He hit a three today. Zion hit a three today.
Ingram did too.
We got a 3-point shooting team. Etuan Moore is shooting from anywhere in the gym range. How you feel about that?
Best 3-point shooting team in the NBA. That's how I feel about that. It's funny because when Etuan was made available to the media earlier this week, he said one of the focuses for the training staff or the coaching staff for him was increasing his 3-point attempts from somewhere around 3 to 6. And it's like, okay, that should have been obvious. That why didn't that happen before? So I'll be shocked if he gets enough minutes to shoot 6 3-point attempts.
No, you will. Yeah. We'll see. I mean, he's going to get his minutes definitely went up when the Darius Miller Achilles injury was announced. Who knows how many that'll be, but his shooting will be needed in some form. The question is, can he really carve out a consistent role in this game?
Yeah, they almost had him running as a secondary point guard, so to speak, where Lonzo was the de facto point guard of the white team, and then when he subbed out, it was Nikhil and Etuan, and Etuan was bringing the floor up and bringing the ball up the floor and initiating offense quite frequently. I don't know how I feel about that. I'm not a big fan of point guard Etuan, but Alvin did say that this is a positionless team. He reiterated that today, where he wants a lot of people initiating the offense. He mentioned that Zion's going to be a guy that initiates offense and is going to be a playmaker. And he mentioned Brandon Ingram played point guard for stretches with Los Angeles. So there's going to be multiple guys who take on that role. So it's probably going to be point guard by committee on the bench until someone really separates themselves out. Again, they're being pretty cagey about the rotation at the moment. And it's early. They haven't played a single preseason game, so it's understandable. But they're definitely not saying if any particular person is pigeonholed into that backup guard role yet or not. So that's where they are.
Have they announced anything for the preseason game on Monday, who's available, who's not, or who's playing?
No, Alvin said that's something they're going to sit down and evaluate tomorrow and figure out how they want to handle it, because they can't play 20 guys tomorrow, and they have to figure out who's going to be active or who's not going to be active. But I'm pretty confident that the main guys will play. So if Jalen Adams doesn't play, then I guess there's I'm fine not seeing that.
Yeah, just selfish reasons. I'll be at the game on Monday, so hoping to see the guys in a real game situation. Not that this wasn't a real game situation, but should be fun. And to your point, like, that's exactly the first thing I'll look at is what the rotations do they use. And obviously, the rotations they use in game one of the preseason does not mean game one of the regular season, but I think it at least gives us an indication of what they're thinking, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I think another thing that stood out to me during this practice was people didn't really hesitate when it came to shooting threes specifically, because I think a lot of what this team is going to face is defense is encouraging them to take the three, and I don't know if I want them to become a team that settles for them, but I definitely don't want them to be a team that is afraid to take them. So that was good to see that this team didn't really hesitate. But again, that's probably one of those things that when they face real defenses and real teams, you have to evaluate then rather than, like, they have a comfort level with the guys they're playing against. Of course, they're going to take shots that they feel confident about. But when real NBA defenders are playing against you and not some of the guys fighting for camp spots, it's going to be a different story. So excited to see that progression. I do have a question for you regarding three-point percentage. Who do you think ends up with a higher three-point percentage this season? Lonzo Ball or Kenrich Williams?
Kenrich. That's my easy answer. I'm not super confident in that just because I don't know how many minutes Kenrich will get. So the variability there is going to be pretty high, but I think I take him as a shooter right now over Lonzo, but not by a lot.
Follow-up question. Who do you think ends the season with more made threes between those two players?
Lonzo, for sure. I think.
Is that a minutes thing?
Yes, certainly.
Okay.
Do you feel differently?
I don't think I feel differently. I think if Kenrich ends up both making and take and shooting a better percentage than Lonzo, then it's probably either he's a spectacular basketball player, which is unlikely, or Lonzo just wasn't very good, because Lonzo should get maybe three times the minutes Kenrich gets over the course of a season or even per game. So the number of attempts should just be a lot higher. And with the way defense is playing where they just don't defend him, he's going to be taking a lot more. So Lonzo should take the cake when it comes to making more of them. I don't really have any more hypothetical questions for you, but I did want to get your thoughts on the game day experience.
The game day experience. For today, you mean?
Yeah, for today. Do you think there were any changes? Do you think it was like a lot of the same old stuff?
I don't know. I mean, granted, I've only been to maybe a couple home Pelicans games a year over the past year. It's been not being a local anymore, but I don't know. It seemed nice. I will say the free parking was a nice touch. So whoever made that call, good move. Nice to way to help get the fans here. Not that I don't even know if fans knew there was free parking, but they didn't charge us, so that was nice. But as far as like game, it was, I don't know. It seemed like your run of the mill thing. You had the dance team after the first quarter, so far second quarter. They only played three quarters in this scrimmage, which is kind of weird, like hockey periods. Yeah, I don't know. Did anything stick out to you that was different?
I think they had a couple moments where you're like, okay, why are you doing this? I think they were playing Party Rock at one point, and then I forget who they played, but I think it was a lot of people want more New Orleans based entertainment, more New Orleans based music, more of a New Orleans feel to it. And from that aspect, again, it's the preseason. They're gonna have probably a totally different game day production and experience going forward, but it'll be nice to see some of those changes going forward, especially with this whole won't bow down thing and them trying to embrace the city. So I definitely like to see more of that. On the whole, it was entertaining, pretty standard sports game.
I mean, like, it wasn't different. That's the thing. But yeah, it's those, any sort of thing they can do to make it more of a local cultural experience. I feel like it's New Orleans, make the team one with the city, you know? And so that'll be fun to see throughout the year.
Exactly. So on a concluding note, I'm going to ask you predictions for Monday, and there's going to be rapid fire predictions. Okay. How many minutes will the starters play max?
All the starters. I don't see anyone going over 25 minutes. And that 25 feels like a lot, maybe just like 20. It's the first preseason game, man. Like, they're, The guys should be in good shape, but they're not going to be in peak shape. And so, I don't know. Yeah, I wouldn't expect anyone to get more than 25 or so.
Who will lead the Pelicans in scoring for Monday?
Brandon Ingram.
Interesting. Who do you have winning?
Well, it's the preseason. Who cares? Pelicans. I think there's going to be a lot of points too, given who the Hawks' best players are, between Collins and Trae Young. I just think it's going to be a lot of points put up.
Over under on 4.5 dunks by Zion.
Over.
Wow, that means he's scoring at least 10 points off dunks.
Shenanigans, man. It's first preseason game. Let's just let him go wild.
Okay, I agree. Last one. Will Lonzo Ball lock up Trae Young? Or will Drew take that assignment?
I think they'll take turns. I mean, preseason game one again. I don't think you're trying to exhaust anyone too much. I'm excited to see that matchup, though, for both those guys. I think they'll both take turns on them.
And that's a wrap. I'm pretty excited for the game as well. Mason will be there, boots on the ground, so stay tuned for his coverage. And thank you for tuning in to this episode.